This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey Travis, I've been hearing about a fake ransomware scam. What do you know about it?
This one's actually pretty clever. What it is it's called a remote access Trojan, where it infects your system and makes it look like it's been hit with ransomware. It makes it look like your files have been locked. And while you're panicking over that, it steals all of your files and your data.
So just keep in mind, friends, that if you hear things that are remote access Trojan, that also is RAT.
Right. And this particular version is called a Strat. STTRAT.
Ah, like Jimi Hendrix. No.
Yeah. A little bit. that's just getting sent out through Microsoft emails. It looks like an attachment. It looks like a PDF. You double click on it. It opens up. It installs. And then it adds a little suffix to every file on your computer and says, you've been hit with ransomware. Where you haven't, all you would need to do is just change the file name back and you'd get it back. But while you're going through that process, it's taking all the files off of your computer to sell.
So this is like the person who is an accomplice to a bank robbery who has a seizure in the middle of the lobby, and then while that's happening, the robbery is occurring.
Right. Or someone who walks up with a fake plastic toy gun while the bank robbers are tunneling into the vault or something like that.
It's like SolarWinds. We know you're all looking at the election, but we are using this opportunity to compromise the government and some of the biggest companies in the world, and then playing on their relationships with other companies to use that as a pathway in to third level companies.
I like the idea. I mean, just the idea that they're now using different exploits as a distraction to do other exploits.
Well, the whole success in any hacking venture is that people are defenseless and vulnerable when they are distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And distraction is the constant in all of the hack and scam attacks. Is, you know, we all have lives. For a business, it's they're working, they're doing their thing. For individuals, it's we work for people. Children, we're helping in terms of school, we're sharing devices, and things happen when we are distracted, and a lot of things happen. As a matter of fact, cybercrime became a $6 trillion business between 2020 and 2021.
But Travis, what do you do? Like, so what are you supposed to do instead of fall victim to that distraction? I mean, what are there some ground rules? Like for me, it's just, I have to ask myself, is this really happening? What am I supposed to do next? And I don't always know the answer.
I'd say a big one would just be to disconnect your computer from the internet. Just first and foremost. So that's just a good way just to say, okay, if this is in the event that there is something on here that's siphoning off all of my data, you could at least stop it there.
Okay.
That's not necessarily a cure-all, of course. I mean, in the case of a ransomware attack, it would still be locked down, and you don't really know exactly how much damage was done. But if that were happening, the whole point is they're distracting you long enough to get all the files off your computer. So if you just say, like, all right, let's just take this offline. And if you want to take that even a step further, you can just turn off your computer, take out the hard drive, and then bring it into someone who can help clean it up, or even just take a quick look at it.
Or take it to a store and have them take the hard drive out, whatever, you know.
Exactly, yeah, but
your level of competency is. But yeah, I mean, I would just turn my computer off, and I often wonder, you know, does that mean that I've just started, I'm halfway through the process of having my computer completely screwed up, because when I restart it, whatever I downloaded is going to take full effect.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gamble either way. Once they're on your computer, there's going to be a lot of risk to you and a lot of damage there. But again, I think one of the main things is, in the odd event, in case you happen to get lucky and it is something like a fake ransomware attack, or if it is something that's trying to siphon data, or you have hackers who are about to tell you what they've done in exchange for ransom, if you happen just to take it offline, at the bare minimum, you're just able to maybe fend off that sort of attack.
But then remember that a lot of times you don't even know they're there until they give you hints that they're there. So your life distraction could put you in a situation where it takes you a lot longer to find out that you have a problem.
And you totally miss the hints in the meantime, so.
Yes. I'm Adam Levin, and welcome to What the Hack, your place for cyber news, a whole bunch of views, and guys that are good sports. I'm the former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves.
I'm Bo Friedlander. I am the resident cyber busybody. I like to talk about cyber. I like to think about it. And whenever something happens in the news, I like to read about it. That's about it.
I'm Travis Taylor, resident tech guy and caffeine aficionado.
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Hack with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's electricebikes.com. So, Adam.
Bo.
I am really happy and kind of impressed. I, as you know, I've been for about 18,000 years looking for a house, and I finally found one.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Well, so now I've been going through the process of getting a loan on that house. And I was pretty worried, you know, because you have to send all kinds of things. One of the things that I thought was going to happen didn't happen, which was I thought my information was going to be hanging out all over the place. And they really did have their chops. They understood what was at risk. And when I told them I didn't want to do certain things, they let me do it. So in other words, I was able to password protect all of the PDFs that I was sending to them and give them the passwords via text so that they were from two different places. It would have been very hard to get through. I was impressed. It's pretty cool.
No, I think the financial services industry is getting a lot tighter on things like this because they understand that the ramifications are very serious if they don't do what they're supposed to do and people have their information exposed.
My attorney's office was like, you know, I was wondering when you were going to call because I got the information for wiring money to their escrow account. And there was no way in hell I was going to send that money without getting a human being on the phone and saying, your name is such and such. You work at such and such. I dialed this phone number. It is your phone number. This is your account. This is the routing number. And they confirmed everything. But they also were expecting the call. I think they would have been surprised if I didn't call. And that just wasn't the case last time around when I did this.
Well, I know that, you know, one institution I use has a procedure. You send them an email, then they call you, only you, and then they ask you a few questions, and you know who they are because they're people you've talked to before. And not to say you couldn't get lured in by some kind of a deep fake audio, but they're very good about it. And they go, so have you wired money to this place before? Do you know exactly the person who's the contact person? Have you contacted them and confirmed that these are in fact the wiring instructions? And that's because wire transfer fraud has become such a big deal in this country. It's cost people millions upon millions of dollars.
Now to a two investigation involving one of the biggest purchases you'll ever make. Picture this. You found the perfect house, save thousands for a down payment, and then you lose it all to internet hackers.
Yep. CBS2 investigator Dorothy Tucker found industry leaders are now proposing bold new steps to stop the scammers from stealing your home.
A North County couple's American dream quickly turned into a nightmare after wiring nearly $800,000 to who they thought was their escrow agent. Instead, all of that money went to a scammer.
Like Wiggles, right?
Delisai Panganiban has been saving for years to buy the perfect home for her and her children. She saved up $35,000. When it came time to close on the condo, she was instructed, or so she thought, to wire the money.
There was a lot of emails going back and forth to the title company.
No, and I brought it up. You know, I really brought it up because I think that the more people hear what should happen, the less likely they're going to fall for things that shouldn't happen, like losing their money through wire transfer. And that is a story for the week. This week, though, we are going to be talking to
Ed from Manhattan Beach. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Adam. Good to be here, of course.
Ed, this is Beau. Really great to have you here. You guys have great Christmas lights there.
Yeah, and I think they actually were screwed up somehow or delayed this year because of the big COVID. But we do have great Christmas lights, and they actually shoot off fireworks at Christmas, but not on July 4th. Figure that out.
It's a very California Christmas.
Where exactly is Manhattan Beach?
It's south of the LA airport, south of LAX. We happen to live about 10 or 15 minutes from the airport, which is pretty convenient. What can I tell you? There are three beaches in a row that I'm not a Californian, but that I grew up hearing about, which are Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, and Hermosa Beach.
I know this is pretty controversial, but which one has the best surfing?
Well, from personal experience, I wouldn't have the faintest damn idea because that's exercise. That's not me. I believe Manhattan Beach actually is known for that. I mean, they're out there all the time. To me, it looks incredible. And it's a thing they talk about that's when there aren't like sharks, you know, small stuff like that or red tide or no, it's a big deal thing. Surfing and volleyball. That's the big Manhattan Beach stuff. They have national volleyball tournaments there.
And are you a big volleyball player, Ed?
No, but I can watch it. It's very exciting. I get really tired out watching it. It's something else.
So you had a problem on Facebook, I understand.
Yes, I did. Basically, you'll know this word. I know I got hacked. My story is my life after that for about two weeks, I think, or so. I didn't really check the dates. I took a lot of notes, not half understanding what I did or not. But for a long period of time was I could not restore, couldn't figure out how I was hacked or how to restore it. First of all, I tried to follow the instructions from Facebook, ran into some dead ends. And then I went to my buddies at the Geek Squad at Best Buy.
How did you
my buddies
know
at the Geek Squad
that you got hacked? What was the first sign?
Somebody may have accessed your account. Please follow the following instructions to restore it.
And it looked like it came from Facebook, yeah?
It did look like it came from Facebook. And at the time, Facebook then was working. I am both competent and a klutz at doing this stuff, but I think I did it right. And then I got a couple of messages later. Your password was changed on the so-and-so date and things like that. But I tried to follow the instructions and I seemed to run into dead ends.
Do you know that the notes that you were getting that appeared to be from Facebook, do you know right now, as I ask you, do you know, were they from Facebook or were they from a hacker pretending to be Facebook?
The answer is no, I don't know that. I was, in retrospect, convinced that they were, but interesting question.
Well, let's ask Travis what he thinks about that. Travis?
Yes.
So you've heard the story. What would be your take on that?
I'd say one of the first things to do in that instance, and Ed, I'm not sure if you did this, is to take a look at the, if it was a message that you received through email, is just to take a look at the domain that it came from. It's not that email domains can't be faked, but in a lot of cases, if it says something like facebookpasswordreset.com or facebookadministrator.com or something like that, and not facebook.com itself, that's usually something that is a pretty good indicator that someone's running a scam of some sort. And the other thing too that I tend to do if I ever get any of those messages is to just copy and paste the text into Google, and you look that up, and in a lot of cases it'll say, there's a new scam running around right now, or going around right now with Facebook, and this is what the message will say. And those are two things that are usually just good ways to just do a quick little quick check just to make sure that something's on the level.
It's very good advice. I've done that in the past, but I didn't do that now. I was gullible or whatever, believing that it was Facebook.
Was there an urgency? I'm just curious. Like, did the messages give you a feeling of urgency? Did it provoke a response right away?
On my part?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes when a hacker is trying to get a knee-jerk reaction, they will say something to elicit that response from you and gets you off your balance so that you don't check, so that you don't do the next step, which is to Google the address or whatever.
I would say no. I would say it seemed measured. It seemed like the kind of message it would come from Facebook. It didn't say, you know, give us your social security number and we'll fix everything up for you. No, it seemed like a normal thing, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it said something about you'll need to answer a few questions to establish your whatever. When I did that, I ran into a wall.
Just to clarify for a second, did that come to you through email or through Facebook Messenger?
Email.
Email, okay.
Yeah, I'm quite sure it was email.
So what happened when you hit that wall? Were you locked out of your Facebook account?
Not immediately, but shortly thereafter, probably after I tried to do something, I got someone may have accessed your account, something like that. I'm looking at my notes. And to prevent something or other, we're preventing access or something. So again, somebody may have accessed, it appears somebody may have accessed your account, and we're making it no longer visible, something like that. Huh. I would rely on you guys. Does that sound like familiar messaging from Facebook?
We're making it no longer visible.
Not the exact something.
No, like so I wonder if I have another.
Oh, okay. I found my notes here. It looks like someone may have accessed your Facebook account. To secure your account, you'll need to answer a few questions and change your password next time you go to Facebook. That's the first response.
That sounds about right. That sounds
legitimate. Yep.
And that began my journey. And then afterwards, like later that day, I think, I got another message. I don't remember the wording, but it said something about that visible thing. They basically told me nobody could see me anymore. Up until then, people could.
Could you?
Yes, I could. And I checked with my wife, and she saw me up there.
Did anyone, I don't want to know how many friends you have, but do you have more than 50 friends on Facebook?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did any of those people you're friends with on Facebook say they had heard from you when you had not reached out to them?
No, I did not get that message. I should have done that. I didn't probe them, because shortly after what we're talking about, I could no longer get in touch with them on Facebook. And I didn't think of picking up the phone or writing an email to the people, because, you know, among my 300 friends or something, I could have called a few and said, has anything screwy come through? Later on in my story, you'll hear that I was restored on my laptop, but not on my phone. And nobody since then, I said, I'm back now, but only on my phone, said in a better way than that. But people said, sorry, nobody said, yeah, but I got screwy messages from you.
So probably there was none of that. What happened next in your journey of trying to get back onto Facebook?
I tried to follow their instructions. I didn't get anywhere. And honestly, this is why I'm apologizing. I can't give you the blow by blow. But at some point, I tried to do what they did. What they said to do, and hit another roadblock. I started being asked to change my password to sign in a certain way. And then they said I had to set up two-way authenticate or something or other. And I had to go to an authenticator to get a code and could not figure out how to get there. And this is now both me trying it on myself, but mostly me now having gone to Best Buy and having them do it, because they've taken over my laptop.
Now stop there. I got to ask you to stop there because I do have a question. And I think you guys both just heard this. And you don't have to get into exactly what happened, but whoever hacked you, had they did you say they had taken over your computer at this point?
No. That thing that I read to you was a message from Facebook that said, it looks like someone may have accessed your Facebook account. To secure your account, you'll need to answer a few questions and you can change your password the next time you go to Facebook. That's what I said.
No, but when you were talking to the geeks, you said something about they had taken over your computer. Maybe I misheard you.
Well, they're guests. No, that's me. That's my terminology. But they were saying things like someone may have accessed your account and hacker may have changed your password and enabled two-step authorization. Hacker kept a stronger authorization so we can't get in. Again, these are random comments. No, that's what I was told.
So Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file. And just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it. I like it. And they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I will tell you that this time with Geek Squad was, the hours may be wrong, but a couple of hours on the phone with, you know, the phone sorry, 800 Geek Squad, whatever it is, at which point they kind of gave up, the person kind of gave up and said, probably somebody in the store can do a better job with you. Many hours with that person in the store over a couple of days, including him realizing that you cannot reach Facebook Live in any way. You cannot reach a human being. But after a lot of searching, he said, I found an address where I can write a note. They'll get back to you in 24 hours. So we closed school for 24 hours. I came back to the store, nothing. And then he spent more hours on this kind of a thing. And we never did get a communication back from them confirming what he did. And I will tell you that not only did these people spend a lot of time, they seemed to know what they were talking about. But what I heard a couple of times was, this happens a lot. It should be a simple fix, and it isn't. That was quite concerning. So, but they tried hard. But as you know, I'm sure you know, there's no way to communicate directly with the big FB.
No, there isn't. Now, so was that the end of the story? You got back onto Facebook, or
it's a long story. I started with the 800 number. I went into the store. I came back to the store. Each of these touch points is hours. At some point, something we were doing, we had to try two or three times. It didn't work, and then we got a message that said, "You've made too many attempts or too many tries. Please wait." And
locked out.
Well, we waited a couple hours. We waited overnight. We waited because the guy wasn't going to be back. This is with the guy in the store. We waited, or maybe I waited and then went back online. You know, they do keep a file of me on me, 2 or 3 days. And that didn't solve much. Over a week or so, I probably went online 4 or 5 times. back to the store once. And finally, after that period of time, somebody did something after hours, got me in. We solved it. And I did get back into Facebook. And I was rejoicing. And I thanked him a lot. I wrote him a nice little research thing that came around afterwards. And then I realized it was not restored on my phone. And I didn't want to mess with that, so I held off. And I have now been able to use Facebook at a much lower level on purpose via my laptop, still not restored on my phone. That's been about a week or two. I had a learning out of this whole thing, and it was that I didn't need Facebook as much as I did. In those periods of times when, as I mentioned before, I left the store, I got offline, and we were going to wait 8 hours or 2 days or over the weekend and try again, my stress level went way down. My stress level from where it was when we were trying to solve it. And I said, number one, I'm less stressful. I'm not thinking about it. And number two, you know, it hasn't been that bad. It was kind of a relief. I still wanted to get it back, but I didn't feel awful, like I can't wait to get back and try to get me back on. So when I got it back on my laptop and it's restored, it seems to be working fine, but not on my phone. And that's reduced the amount of time purposefully that I've been on Facebook. It's been good. I have a whole learning from that, and that is all kinds of things. How much time I waste on Facebook, how little time I think people missed me based on what they said when I got back. I mean, I put out a little funny message saying, you've probably noticed the lack of dog photos and bad puns, because that's basically a lot of what I do. So I learned the value of that as well. And nobody came back and said, I missed you a lot. So I equated this to the signs of grief. I actually wrote those down, you know, whatever her name was, a woman that had the various signs of grief.
Kubler-Ross.
Kubler-Ross. They're actually, she had five, but there were seven. There were 12. People have worked on it. Shock and denial, pain and guilt, anger and bargaining, depression, the upward turn, reconstruction and working through, and acceptance and hope. She, Kubler-Ross, said her simple denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I looked at those and I said, is this what you went through, Ed? And I said, no, I had slightly different steps, but it kind of felt the same. But I tried to write down my stages as opposed to her stages, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. My first one was shock, no denial. And then I had that confidence that I could fix things. Then my next one was failure. Then my next one, as you heard, was faith in others. Then interminable failures to fix, frustration. I'm sure she wouldn't have written this way. Endless times suck. And then this is the big one, periods of unexpected relief. Then I used somebody else's term, upward turn, partial reconstruction, less time with the app, and no loss or concern on my part with missing out. And my last step is, I'm cool with the way things are now. I mean, at some point I want to restore my phone thing, but I think I know myself enough. If it's on my phone, I'll be on it much more than I want to. I'm on my phone a lot more than I am on my laptop. So that's where the real time suck happened in the past. But I went through all this pain and grief, and then somewhere in the middle, I realized, why am I painting? Why am I grieving? I haven't lost the ability to communicate with the people I really care about. And, you know, it's a cliche to say, but some things are more important than others. And I got a little bit more done in my life than I would have.
So you went through withdrawal.
I went through withdrawal, right.
Yeah.
I had the methadone of spare time on my own. I don't know what. Yes, I went through withdrawal, but then I got out of withdrawal.
And now that you're in recovery, do you spend less time on Facebook?
I do. First of all, technically, logistically, I can only do it on my laptop. I'm not always in front of my laptop. And also, everything I've learned is, you know, if I would have an instinct now to go, let me check Facebook. In the old days, I would have done it. Now I don't. I do. It might be another waste of time on the computer, but I don't go to Facebook.
Did you lose any data through any of this? I mean,
no, I did not lose any data in going through these various steps with people, you know, taking over my screen online and so on. At one point, there's a place where it shows a little photograph that's at the top of your Facebook page. So I knew it was me. Believe it or not, there are many or a bunch of other Ed Davidses, but we found the one that's me. And somehow underneath it, it shows the email address, and it had my two email addresses, the one that I had Facebook on, the one somewhere midstream they asked me to change my email address, and I did. And then there was a third one with, you know, like a first letter J and then four asterisks and then an M with like 8 asterisks at hotmail.com or something. And we all said, aha, that's probably the person that took over your account. And that's the only indication I had that I was legitimately hacked. There's an oxymoron for you.
Sure is. Yeah.
And we never found out who that was, but that showed me it has to be somebody who's there that shouldn't be there. So it's got to be that person.
And you're sure that email, that Hotmail, you never had a Hotmail email?
Oh, no, no. And then my name doesn't start with a J. It was literally some person's name, J and four or five asterisks, and then some letter with a, it was a name.
When you were looking at everything, you know, again, dispassionately, coolly, calmly, especially as you were now withdrawing and evaluating your Facebook life, did you see anything on the site where you said, you know, if I had to do it over again, maybe that's the kind of information I shouldn't have put on the site?
I'm thinking about it. No, I can't think of anything. And, you know, I'm kind of sensitive to that, Adam. I'm pretty good about not doing that. I don't publish passwords. I don't put addresses, phone numbers. I'm even careful about not doing that for people I'm communicating to. I don't think I opened that kind of portal for them to do it.
Did you know at every moment that you were going through this saga of getting back onto Facebook, did you know everyone who was getting remote access? I mean, were these people that you'd communicated with via the telephone and were satisfied they were the people you had hired to help?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was literally in the store in front of a geek or on the phone calling 800 Geek Squad or whatever that number is.
So you didn't have like someone in your computer with a remote takeover at any point?
No.
Great. Okay. That's often, just so you know, that is a pretty common scam where a hacker or some kind of online criminal will get in touch with you and either cause a problem on your computer or claim that you have a problem that hasn't yet inconvenienced you on your computer. And they just need access for a moment to address it. And people will fall for it. And when those people are in your computer, they're actually looking for passwords and to exfiltrate data. Yeah.
I'm getting
to your bank account.
I'm pretty aware of that. I mean, I hope I'm smart enough not to have fallen for that, but you never know. I don't think in this case I did that, but...
Doesn't sound like it, no.
No.
Adam, passwords. How come it always comes back to that?
Because unfortunately, everybody seems to prefer to operate on passwords as opposed to using password managers. They don't really use two-factor authentication as much as they should. And sometimes just forgetting your password can really put you in a world of hurt. I mean, I had an instance once where I totally forgot my password to my password manager. And it was weeks before I could figure out a way to get back in.
And torture. You know, this multi-factor authentication really does help. But when somebody's not tech savvy, I do think that that just a simple biometric, like a fingerprint, you know, a touch or a face verification could be very helpful, and yet it's just not adopted.
No, but one of the takeaways from this also, and this may not relate to you directly, but it certainly relates to a lot of people who will be listening to this, is that too often people post information about themselves on social media, on Facebook, that will give clues as to answers to security questions. So that's why people have to be very careful, not only with what they post, but when they do create security questions and answers to those questions, lie like a superhero. Never give the real answer.
No dog names.
Mm-mm. No mother's
name. Or use a fake dog's name and next time.
Fake dog's name is perfect, yeah.
And then you used it, just you gotta remember what the fake name was.
That's
and
it.
Then the next time up.
Don't be so creative that you forget what you just created, and then you get shut out of your account.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the whole discussion about passwords, too. I mean, I have so many passwords. I came up with all these devices to remember them, and that could be the root of my problem, too, but not Facebook passwords.
But then you should get a password manager.
That's one of the lessons I learned, too. What's it called? One password?
Well, there's one pass, last pass, Dashlane, and the list goes on and on and on.
Just make sure that whatever you use, you're paying for it. Because if you don't pay for it,
you will pay for it.
100%. Like Adam said, I mean, you're the product. If you're getting it for free, they're getting something out of you.
That's true.
Travis, did you what did you think happened there? If you were to like kind of Monday morning quarterback.
I'd say the closest thing to a smoking gun there was the fact that there was another email address. That in and of itself is really suspicious. And that's something that you can do if you, say, want to compromise an account and then come back onto it later. if you have another use for it, for instance.
And I think people, I think there are definitely some scammers on Facebook who probably farm and cultivate accounts to be used for various purposes here, there, and later.
Right, and it could have been one of those things where they're waiting for some Bitcoin run or something like that, or anything with like crypto. That happened on Twitter before, where they had a whole bunch of compromised accounts all at once say, hey, send a cryptocurrency to this address and I'll double it. That could have been just something of a hacker kind of just doing the equivalent of saving it for later.
It could also be, you know, if somebody gets in there, and I think of like the more intricate hacks where somebody can do the same thing on Facebook, look at your messages and figure out who is doing what and how to scam them. And so it could be that the other shoe just didn't drop and they messed up something.
There are some services that are linked right now into Facebook Messenger. So what they could be doing is getting into the account and just saying, okay, does this person communicate through Messenger for this service? You know, anything that could have been compromising. So he could have just gotten very lucky there.
Hey, thank you so much, Ed, for joining us today. You're a good sport.
Thank you for sharing your journey. And it was quite a journey.
Yeah, I did learn. I you know, it's a positive. I'm back on Facebook. That kind of little itch is there. But I learned a lot about how unimportant it really is.
Indeed. Thanks a lot, Ed.
Bye now.
Bye.
What the Hack with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media.
It's produced by Andrew Stephen, the man with two first names.
You can find us online at loudtreemedia.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.